We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
All right, this episode of Enough About Me is brought to you by my great friends at Milton's. At Milton's, you'll be as comfortable in our stores as you'll be in our clothes. South Shore Plaza, Braintree, and Chestnut Hill Square. Chestnut Hill, Milton's is the store for men. Thanks also to HelloFresh.com for supporting Enough About Me. Receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code MINIHAN30. MINIHANE30. That's HelloFresh.com. Use offer code MINIHAN30. All right, this episode, Enough About Me. I have my brothers in here, Adam and Ryan. I'm taping this on Thursday after the madness with going across the street for justice. So my voice is a little shot, but I have Adam and Ryan in here. Today will be my dad's, this is November 9th, will be my dad's 69th birthday. So a weird day, and there's been weird days, and there'll be more of them. And I know some people are hearing this saying, "John, Kirsten, talk about his parents again." Well, yeah, I am, for this hour with my brothers. And honestly, I did them more for me. Just to have this sort of document, this audio document to have for the rest of my life to get to listen to it. And my brothers were there the whole step of the way. It was this crazy two-year journey. We get into a lot of that. We talk about my dad. And we mostly make fun of him, which is what kids do about their dads. But, you know, and we keep talking about during the podcast, you'll hear I was potentially thinking about reading some of the eulogy I did at the church. I'm not going to do that. Honestly, I think I just won't be able to make it through. I can't read it. The thing broke me just about. There's a couple of stories in there. Maybe I'll read at some point. But I just don't feel like doing it right now. But I was really happy to have my brothers here who were great during the whole process. Not everyone's getting along perfectly right now. That's the life of three brothers. That's the life of when you lose your parents too. These things happen. Ups and downs right now. It's sort of a down. But we all got together and had a good time for an hour. Had a nice lunch after. I was glad we were able to do that and celebrate and sort of talk about the life of my dad, Peter Minahan, who would be 69 today. A great guy. A great dad. The one thing I might say from the eulogy, it's actually the part that breaks me up, is at the end of it, at the end of the eulogy, I talk about when my dad got sick at the very end. It was a Sunday night, and he didn't get out of the hospital again after that. And the Monday morning, he had this terrible attack, and I think he thought he was going to die right there. And he was a religious guy, but not a crazy religious guy. But he called for a priest to come in when he was finally got his breathing restored and was okay. And the priest came in. And his voice was really weak at this point, and he was really sick, and he asked for us to leave so we could talk to the priest. And we're walking out, and I was kind of the last one I could hear him. And the first thing he said to the priest was, "I've lived a good life. I'm proud of what I've done." And he should be, because he lived a great life, and he was the hardest working person I've ever known in my life. And we had some tough years as a teenager, and for me, and that happens with fathers and sons, but there's no other dad I would ever want in my life. I love them so much. I miss them so much. On days like this, it's weird. But I got a chance to talk to my brothers about the life and the last couple of years, really, the last sad couple of years of a great man, my dad, Peter Minahan, on what would be his 69th birthday. Adam and Ryan Minahan are the special guests on this week's Enough About Me. All right. I'm here in the Meter's old booth, Studio A, with Adam Minahan, Ryan Minahan, my brothers. This will be broadcast or podcast, whatever the fuck, on my dad's 69th birthday. The first question I'm going to ask is, who in Maine clogged up the fucking toilet? Because legitimately, just admit it, it was you.
No, it was not me.
It was somebody did it, because you got emails from people now, and I'm in charge of this thing. Was it you?
No.
Who did?
I haven't been there in a while.
There were wipes on top. It was you.
It was not me.
There were wipes on top.
You can say it was wipes on me. I have a process that I don't flush the wipes.
That's fine. But
so
that
wasn't me.
Just admit it was you who did it.
I will not.
You were there more recently than I was, right?
I actually don't think that's accurate. I think you've been there more recently than any of us.
Yeah, but I didn't use the wipes, though, because we used the wipes before and we got busted for it.
I didn't even know that we had. I didn't know we had wipes there.
Yes, so it was you.
That's just inaccurate.
$400, by the way.
That's just not accurate.
400 balloons.
No. Come out of your check.
Yeah, well, anyway. So that's not going to be solved. I don't know what will be solved here today. A little tension in the air, as there always is with the Minahan boys when they get together. That's almost inevitable. Unusually, I'm actually not in the middle of it, which I like. We may address that later. We may not.
Seems like the right avenue.
It's the podcast.
Good.
Shocked to hear
that. Your head inside, which makes you kind of an asshole.
Cold.
It's not that cold. In here, it's not that
62
cold.
62 degrees in this building.
It's cold in when you walk in our office. It's cold. It's not cold in here. So I thought we would just talk about Dad for a little bit because, you know, I don't know. I think it'd be a good thing to have for the three of us to have and for the kids to have and great going forward because that stuff, we did not do a great job of that stuff growing up. We have, like, no, like, videos, no really good pictures. We struggle with that. We put everything together. Our cousin Nicole put it together and did a good job. But, we were not a great, photo-taking family.
We took enough of them.
Your job here, by the way, is you guys can also talk.
Thank
podcast.
You. Thank you.
That's fine.
I don't think we've ever really been good at keeping them, including Mom and Dad. It's just the closet filled with...
Well, that's not true. I was going to say, yeah, the closet is full of those things. But we don't do the same, actually. We have a lot of kids' photos, but nothing of us involved with the kids, which is... terrible.
With our kids, you mean?
No. Like, even, yeah, without my own kids. It's always...
Yeah, generationally, it's different.
But you save it on your cell phone until you're ready, and then...
Yeah.
But there's very few of all of us.
Yes. Yes. So it's been, it was 6 months, when we taped this, 6 months yesterday when Dad died, which is kind of unbelievable. I don't know where you guys are at 6 months later. Does it feel different now? Does it feel the same? Do you guys think about it less often than you thought you would? More often you thought it would? It's fine. It doesn't matter. Who is it?
That's some fucking class.
Fucking mutt calling me right now. Should I take it?
I think you put on speaker.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taping a podcast right now. You're on speaker. I'm with my brothers taping a podcast for my dad's birthday, which will be Thursday. We're taping sort of a podcast talking about him. Why did you feel like you had to call in right now?
I have very important things to tell you.
What's that? Go ahead.
I was the first ever guest.
Okay, nobody cares.
Yeah, I saw that. It was terrible.
Loser.
He was terrible. He's all
sad, lonely.
He was all confident
loser.
That you since you great guys
body,
were there.
Though.
It was great.
Huh? His body's never been
it's
better.
Got a great body.
Yeah.
But where are you guys at?
I don't really think about him that much anymore.
No? Okay, so, good. No. We can move on then. We're done here. We're done.
No, I think some days, for the most part, some days are okay. And some days are really, really bad. But, I mean, it's pretty similar to what it was 6 months ago.
And nothing's changed. I think it's the same. I think everyone says it's going to take a certain amount of time, but it's just the same. Every day you kind of wake up, whether it's trying to call them, picking up the phone, thinking you're going to text them or whatever. Not Dad so much because he wouldn't respond to a call or a text.
He would never, ever, ever, ever respond to a text. And you get a phone message from Dad that would be, the two people who I know are Jerry Callahan and Peter Minahan who leave the 2-minute and 59-second messages. Is that the longest we can leave when they haven't, you know, when
they push the button, the ask button, and then it goes through, yeah.
Adam, Dad. Wednesday, 3:15.
That's true. You get that. Hello. Yes. Call. Hello. Yes. It's Dad calling. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
Kirk, Peter Minahan. Just to let you know, it's Tuesday, 3:30 in the afternoon. Was calling to talk. It's called back. We'll just talk about it later.
Yeah. It's strange for me. It's much harder for me. Not harder, but it's much.
We're about to hit the 6 podcast and run a cry.
Sometimes at night. Dad is much harder for me to come to terms with being dead than Mom, as weird as that sounds. Like, Mom was great. I had no issues with Mom, really. I mean, you know what I mean. She was, our issues with Mom were that she was, like, too nice in a way.
Right.
But Dad, like in a weird way, like, you still feel, I'm fucking 43 now. And I still feel like in a weird way, I'm, like, chasing Dad in a little bit. Like, the approval. That will never, I sit in fucking rooms with shrinks, I talk to you guys, I talk on the air, I talk on the podcast, I talk to my wife, I talk to for whatever. Like, that will never in my life ever be resolved for some reason. And he probably fucking loves it. Like, yeah, good. Fuck you.
No, I agree. I'll never. I was watching a terrible movie, Sing. It's a Disney flick where, like, you know, the father at the end is with the trying to get the son's getting approval from his father, and
did you see it again?
No? Yeah, of course. Well, no, I didn't. It wasn't alone. No, I was watching it with Likely, and I mean, like, there was that moment where he's like, "I'm proud of you," and I just started crying like a little baby. I'll never get that. I don't think that he, not to say that he wasn't proud of me or whatever.
I don't feel he was.
No, he probably wasn't.
I didn't get that. We know how it ended.
No, exactly. It's true.
We'll get there in a second.
Yeah, thank you. So that's always sad. I think it makes it a little bit easier being, to be honest, in Sudbury. I couldn't imagine living in Lexington that close to the cemetery, that close to Winchester.
I go to the cemetery all the time. It's fucked up. I have to stop doing that.
But if I was there, I'd probably do it
good
too.
Good point, Ryan.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how often do you go?
Probably once every couple of weeks.
Yeah,
I'll go and bring Likely like on a Saturday real quick. I mean, I can't stay there for very long.
It gets weird. I'm at the point now where legitimately though, like I was there the other day. It was after when was the big storm?
Last week?
Last weekend or something?
Yeah, it was last Monday or something.
I went the other day, and for the first, like, the last couple of times, I'm now talking out loud when I'm by myself, too.
That's where it gets weird.
Like Rocky with Adrian. I have the chair and the, like, I'm legitimately talking to them. I'm like, yeah, well, work's going okay. And I'm sitting there like, you're fucking cliche asshole. Like, what are you doing?
Who are you talking to?
Exactly. Right.
They're not there. And I'm like, no, they are not
there. I know, but you know, it's like the only thing, you know, yeah. Well, your birthday's coming up. Like, so say them, damn, the fuck is wrong? What the fuck is happening?
Weather's been really nice lately. The weekend wasn't great. But...
Trey the Garoppolo. it's bizarre. I mean, I know you haven't been yet, but it's weird.
So you keep saying that. Now, last time I went was mom's birthday. Because it's an hour and 15 minutes to get there. So I probably go every 3 or 4 weeks if I can. And I have not brought my wife yet. I brought Julie once. She was baffled by it. But that's the same thing. I just sit there. Like you're almost saying to yourself, am I supposed to talk? You know, do I just sit here? Am I supposed to talk? It's just awkward.
It's just weird. It's just fucking weird. I mean, someday it won't be weird, I'm sure, like in like 2 or 3 years. It'll probably be like it was for mom with like Nana or something. But Nana was fucking 90.
Yeah, right? It's the big difference.
Like, and, you know, there was sort of this, you know, as sad as it was, and I felt bad for mom and everything, but it was, she died. There's no better way to die than that.
I think there's probably a few.
There's probably a little better way to die than in hospice. Just sort of.
She was 90 and she was.
She wasn't. She wasn't aware. She wasn't aware for a couple of weeks.
That's what I mean. But whatever. But my point is, we'll do the Nana podcast later.
We should.
No, please. That'd be great.
Re-record after this.
You have a lot of thoughts on that. But yeah, but it's hard to, you know, it's hard to encapsulate that. I might actually at the start of this podcast I'll do the pre-tape later on this week. I may do some of the eulogy maybe.
It's good.
Maybe should I or no? It's too weird?
That is the lock of the century tears, though, for you.
You're going to be able to.
No chance.
I don't know. You made it through it decently
until the end.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that wouldn't be bad.
It could be good.
Everybody, you know, talk
yours.
Do you have the guys recording during the actual funeral?
People still talking about yours all these months later.
Well, you know.
You're my dad.
I led off.
You're my dad. It made me sad. But I'm glad that we had.
I tried with the haiku, but it was hard.
In fairness, I mean, you let off, and we were told 90 seconds to 2 minutes.
Yeah, but fuck that. Right.
You made it. You were the one that said, "Let's keep them real short. Let's keep them real brief." I think we.
You had 10 minutes ready to go.
We both hit our lines. You took over.
Screen door slam.
I actually tried to slow it down enough so I could, because I saw your notes. I was like, Jesus, he's just going to be on there forever.
I had one page of Microsoft document. That is it.
But again, like we also went into it saying,
Dad, I want to thank you so much for being my dad. It was the greatest time ever. I'm going to miss you. I'll never have another dad again. Goodbye.
We did. We went
D
into it.
A is
with...
for delightful. A is for
awesome.
Average at times.
No, but I guess like we went into an introduction, kind of what he was going through. I was just gonna go and do whatever in the middle, and you were gonna give the thank yous. And
yeah, we had that talk of almost like a breakdown of who's gonna cover what. And I think the day before we said, "Well, fuck it, just go with what you're gonna go with." Just
well,
talk
in the past, I found that we had conversations. You wanted things to go quickly, when it went quickly, you weren't happy that it went that quickly. So I thought that would go longer.
It's about time we got to that.
What are you talking about?
Well, your wedding.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So I didn't want to disappoint anybody, so I went extra long.
Which is awesome that's actually brought up, for Christ's sake.
Not that often anymore.
No. No, I agree. That whole thing, which I still don't know who actually said it to you, which is just great.
You know.
I do know.
Was it Scott Baum?
No. Yeah, sure, we'll say it's him.
No. Well, that doesn't...
Why not?
It makes it easier because he's dead. Sorry, Mrs. Baum.
Scott.
I don't think she's listening.
No, I honestly, that was never a thing. It was never the time. We love the fact how quick it was. That was not the issue. The issue that anybody would say anything about was me freaking out the morning of writing the actual vows.
Right.
Because we're doing non-denomination.
What does that do with me?
It didn't have anything to do with you. I was just freaking the hell out about it. And
how is that related?
I think that in that time, I think I was just like, shit, I thought that he had everything all set.
What?
I know, exactly.
The fuck are you talking about?
I'm gonna go right ahead and say that zero got answered during that segment.
No. But that honestly, I never. I swear on the life of my kids, I never once mentioned
sexually
the speed.
Attracted to boys.
Is this
like Jerry Sandusky?
Oh my god! I never.
Is this gonna be the moment where you let out the person?
No, I don't. No. Well, I mean, how many possible candidates are there?
Five or six, maybe.
Right. So you can figure it out.
I got blamed. I was either first or second on the list.
No. I asked.
You know, it wasn't Uncle Mike.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
We'll get there also.
Son of a bitch wasn't invited.
Plenty to get to. This is not for you to apologize to me, though. I appreciate that.
Certainly not. No, that's fine.
It sounds like you're sorry, though.
No, I'm sorry that there was confusion in terms of the way it was delivered.
Say you're sorry.
Paul, what's that?
This thing walks. Say you're sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
What the fuck you're talking about?
No one's listening.
No one knows. People actually listen to this.
And I know. Already off the rails.
Probably gone by now, but who knows?
We'll see.
It's hard to describe Dad to people who didn't know him. Like, that's sort of the thing, the trick. Like, if you knew him, like, he's I think he is. Everybody says this, I think, about their dad. But he's one of those guys who, like, literally becomes sort of one of the people in your life you won't forget. That is Dad all the way, whether people worked with him, whether they were his nieces or nephews or whatever. He was one of those impactful guys. I mean, you know, you could tell Dad stories forever. I mean, literally forever. I mean, honestly, it's dominated our lives, is doing Dad impressions and telling Dad stories. Really, I mean, now that he's gone, it's I still do it all the time.
Right.
And now you find yourself as a dad having moments where you sound like Dad talking to your kids, and it's like fucked up. Or conversationally, I'll talk to somebody in here or whatever, and I'll say, you know, this guy, you know, whatever, program director or some guy wants to do this. And I'll be, you know, it's just bullshit. It's just goddamn bullshit. You sound like Dad.
Fire his ass.
Just, yeah, well, yeah.
Just tell you now, that's just the thing that burns me. When I went back to work, a lot of people kept asking, like, you know, tell me about your dad, tell me about whatever. And it was people who had no idea who he was. It was
like
impossible.
Trying to speak a different language.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know, everybody knew him. Those who didn't, like, it's sort of, you know, you saw it at the wake. The wake was fucking unbelievable.
Insane.
The people at Doherty's told me that it was the biggest wake they've ever had. The biggest wake they've ever had.
Think about how long that place has been around.
Yeah, I mean, it's been around forever. It's generations, and it was packed.
When you think about how much dead time at mom's compared to dad's, dad's went until 15 minutes till the end time. And, and we still had 10, 15 people walk through.
And mom's was really crowded. I mean, she had a huge crowd.
Tomasi was the finisher?
Last one on both times.
Damn right.
Mom's crowd was huge normally, they said, but for some reason, I mean, dad worked, you know.
Well, it was also 6 weeks.
But
6 weeks in comparison to people coming and traveling.
But I don't think, and even in fairness, I don't mean to put down mom, it's still, even if it was a year later, it probably wouldn't have been the size of dad's. Dad's was just insane.
Dad worked. He was professionally more LinkedIn, I think.
Right.
Although, you know, it's sort of...
People from friggin' Manhattan that came. I mean, like, just random.
Where? Manhattan?
The high school that he went to.
Manhattan?
Came.
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I don't remember anymore.
Manhattan?
Yeah, sure.
Manhattan.
Manhattan, like a Madras.
Manhattan.
Manhattan. I mean, people that came that hadn't seen him in 40-plus years and that were still just telling the same exact stupid stories that you heard from people that worked with him. It was weird.
Oh, and they all had the same exact stories. It really was. He was an odd guy. Like as a kid, just looking back on it, just not understanding his sarcasm was basically the hardest thing as a kid. Until you got older and realized that he was just a pain in the ass that wanted to argue and just give you shit. And then you understood it.
He was, you know, he was the ultimate contrarian. Just to be, you know, people say that about me, but Dad would literally just argue to piss you off and watch you get pissed off. He enjoyed that process more than, and the people who worked for him loved him. They were loyal, but I can only imagine what a fucking pain in the ass he must have been sometimes for these people.
Oh, my God. No, I still remember you coming up to me a couple of times towards the end and just being like, he's arguing with you. Just argue with you. Just give it up. Just shut up. I'm like, I can't.
Yeah, you're not going to. It doesn't, you know, no matter what it was, he would take the other side.
Yeah, it was
no
great.
Matter what.
No matter what.
You've added a lot here so far.
I've kept this.
Speak into the mic. When you do that, they're not going to hear you.
I've kept it on the rails.
That's all you have to do right there. Right there.
Stay
is
right
all
here,
you have
then.
To do.
I'm afraid of breathing in it.
Why?
I don't know if that matters, breathing into it. No, nose breathing into it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fine. Don't. It really doesn't matter.
It's really
okay.
Thank you.
All right, we'll get back to my brothers here in a moment, but I'm happy to take a break here to talk about my great friends at Milton's. I should take my brothers, by the way, to Milton's. They've both been bothering me to do that. I will do that at some point. We brought Ken Laird there and Chris Curtis a couple of weeks ago. Milton's is the greatest. I they've been so loyal to us, and we are so proud to have them as a sponsor, not just of the show, but of this podcast. It is quite simply the store for men. If you want to go and get outfitted and look great, don't mess around. Don't go online. Don't go searching. You guys don't know what you're doing. I know I don't. You drive to South Shore Plaza in Braintree or where I go, Chestnut Hill Square, Chestnut Hill. You'll get outfitted by Milton's. You'll walk in. The people are great. The prices are great. The look is great. Very simple. If you like simple stuff done well, you just go to Milton's. I'm telling you, you look fantastic when you walk out of there. Milton's is the best shopping experience I've ever had in my life. I hate shopping. I love going to Milton's. I love the clothes. I love the people there. I love how they do business. Milton's is the store for men. What's like the dad story for you guys?
Governor.
I know it's hard. It's impossible.
That's a big moment.
We've debated that for years.
Jesus.
Did you guys give us any thought driving in?
Yes, I mean,
I've got a couple, I guess. And neither of them, unfortunately, neither of them are like unbelievably vivid. But the Bermuda story with the golf ball in the head,
that's a great story.
Is honestly, and again, I was so young.
That's my story in a way.
It is, but I still it's what I remember.
we were at the Sinestra, right?
We were
in Bermuda, and we're playing. It was weird. It was like
they have a pool.
Yeah.
A little miniature.
Gone now, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Pool, by, like, this
miniature
weird
golf course.
It's like individual.
It's almost like homeless.
Yeah, it is.
Islanders are living there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the dad would always say, you know, there's no one to play there. No homeless.
No, 1%.
Every single person on that small island's working.
Yep.
You'd walk by, you'd be a homeless person there. How's it going?
There's 1%.
Going home? But yeah, the
no, and then yeah, there was the pool. I'm doing hand signals.
There was a pool, nice, great pool. Hotel was awesome.
Miniature,
was
sort of terrible,
little
golf,
like
little mini
nine
golf
hole
course.
Bullshit, yeah, mini golf course, like a, you know, like a hotel one. And then the ocean. So we're playing, and it was just, I think it was just the three of us.
It was
because you were really, I don't even
know. I was driving.
You
alive?
Actually might have been, no.
That was when I was made there.
Yeah,
I was probably.
It was the next time that we went, because I was old enough to remember this. So I, yeah, like then that you were around, but definitely too young.
Maybe the conception though.
I don't know about that.
Maybe.
Who knows? So I was on the hole and I missed a putt, and I grabbed the ball and I literally was just like, kind of slamming the, like, my hand down, like, ah, Jesus.
That mini golf aggression in your history.
And I let go of the ball and hit Dad square in the fucking forehead. And he just looked at you, saw him, he's like a cartoon character. You go all red. And you and I sprinted into the pool because we knew it wasn't going to go in there.
No, you never joke, never go in the pool.
You sprinted in the pool. And
I mean, honestly, if you'd stop sprinting, nothing.
Sure, it's a good point.
Zero would have happened. He would have yelled at one of you.
But yeah.
But that's one of the ones. And then obviously, like, the feet or the sprained ankle, like, you know, him just freaking out about the sprained ankle with a doctor. No, it wasn't Mr. Ray's house. I forget whose house it was.
No, it was somewhere by the marathon. Right?
Yeah.
Sprained his ankle playing basketball.
Stuff like that. I mean, just like a.
Yeah, he had the worst tolerance for pain.
He was just such a pansy.
Of all time. He would bite his tongue and scream, and you'd be sitting there at the dinner.
Cry.
He had the cry. He bit his tongue more than anybody who ever lived. You'd be sitting there at the dinner table. You'd be having a steak or whatever. You'd be sitting there. Ah, Jesus Christ! Mom's instinct all the time with all this stuff. I was thinking of Mom when Tyler puked all over Nicole at the party.
It's great.
Mom would have been fucking like, in those situations, if you got hurt, she would always cry. She'd always laugh. She'd laugh at you. So she'd be
anxious,
sitting there, trying not to laugh at Dad. Dad would be getting pissed at. Jesus Christ, Trish. We'd be laughing. He'd be freaking, he would bite his tongue, I don't know, twice a week.
It was bad.
But yeah, that's a good dad story. What do you got?
I got the one, it was me, you, Dad, Mom, and Paul Grenier watching the Masters when Mickelson was going to win. It was just classic dad frustration that anybody would have looked at and said it was just being such a dick, but just what he did. There was a commercial on where a car was backing up slowly, and it was the beginning of, like, the cameras being in the back of the car, so it's showing the safety feature. And Mom let out this yelp because this car was going to kill this little kid. And Dad just looked over. Dad looks over at Mom in complete just disbelief of her stupidity in that moment and just says, "Oh, Patsy, it's just a goddamn commercial." And everybody, she's so embarrassed, but everybody just keeps laughing and laughing. And he's not laughing. It wasn't a joke.
Oh,
it was just
at some point,
shut up.
You said the Masters. It's funny. At some point, like, Dad transitioned. Maybe I'm doing it too because I was right about that age. It's weird to think of that.
Cry, baby.
Like when Crenshaw won in '95 at the Masters.
Bawling.
Dad would have been how old? So that would have been 22 years ago now. So Dad would have been
45,
like
45, 46.
Your age.
Like almost my age. And Dad became a crier. Like, I don't know, like, what the fuck happened? He was not a crier.
He wasn't a crier after his dad died. I mean, like, I remember seeing him cry,
like,
but he wasn't
the 80s.
There.
He wasn't a crier in the early.
Yeah, but mom would describe him. Mom would say he was a weepy man.
Not in front of us, though.
No, not in front of anybody. But she would say that in private, he was a crier.
Literally every sporting event, he would start crying. Like every sport where something happened, he would be crying no matter what.
I'm trying to think of the other one. I mean, anytime the Star Spangled Banner went. That was a guaranteed.
When Ali lit the torch at the Olympics, he was like bawling.
That was 94.
Ali was, but Ali with Dad. That was Ali was.
You
just
don't understand.
It's just this thriller.
He just became like a, and then you know more and more. Well, we left, which is definitely, if I had to list regrets in my life.
Yeah, you guys fucked that day up.
I had to go home. We had to get up early the next day. We were at halftime of the Super Bowl. Like we should have watched the whole game with Dad. That was a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, as it turns out. That was definitely.
We should have more foresight than that. Like he was not going to live another year. I wasn't even thinking.
No, but honestly, we didn't.
It was halftime. We went home.
At that point, did we get the information at that point that he had gone to the bottom percentile?
I think we knew. Yeah,
that was post. That was post Ireland.
We knew which way the wind.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
We knew which way the wind was blowing at that point. That was a regret.
Yeah. No. I mean, what was it? It was just such a blowout, and he was of all times because it was not too long after that he snapped at you at the Celtics game, but. He was so freaking calm during that entire game, during the picks, during the scores. He never got upset. And I watched the rest of the second half with him, and he just kept saying, he's like, oh, well, this is the only thing that has to happen next. And then it happened. This is the only thing that has to happen next. And it happened as calm as can be. And then they won, and it was still maybe a it was going to be that, whatever, the score challenge or whatever, because it wasn't sure that he went over the line.
Another
he wouldn't freak
them.
Out. He wouldn't freak out. Yeah. And they finally announced it, and he just grabbed me. He couldn't stop crying.
He's crying?
Oh, yeah, he's weeping. I was crying. It was just,
two bitches.
Yeah, seriously. Little whiny bitches. But yeah.
That transition from, like, when I grew up with him, like, the Celtics were his life. Like, I think he definitely, and yeah, I mean, we like the Patriots growing
Red
up.
Red Sox to a degree.
Yeah, but it was all,
yeah, but it was a weird Red Sox thing.
It was a Celtic house, though,
Bird.
Growing up. We had our seats, the Garden, 114, J7 and 8, would go in, boom, drive in, go to the what the hell was the name of the restaurant? The 99's there now in Charlestown. The Front Page or something. I forget what it was called. We'd go in there and watch the games, and like Bird. That became his thing. But then he transitioned to the Patriots. But I think honestly, deep down in a weird way, the Celtics were always his first team.
I don't know. If you had a rank
they
of stuck, for them,
but they
he had a big
for so long, I think he just moved on. Like,
Belichick Brady took him over.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big 15
years. But he loved Russell growing up, and he friggin' loved Bird.
Yeah.
That was his thing.
He got really, really, really pissed at me that the last few weeks.
Some people would say that was the beginning of a pattern.
There really was that when we were watching, I don't even remember what game it was, but it was the Celtics towards the
playoffs,
end.
Right? The Wizards. Was it the Wizards Celtics?
Yeah,
playoff.
It might have been. Yeah. And there was a 24-second violation, and you know, he legit grabbed the controller and almost threw it across the room, grinding his teeth.
There's a lot of shit going on then.
Oh, of course. And then I just looked at him like, Dad, just, you know, relax. It's one possession. It's one possession.
You said it was like the second quarter.
And it was early on in the game. And he looked at me and just pointed with the controller in his hand.
That wasn't the first round. Was it the Wizards?
I only remember the Wizards because we were watching the Wizards a week later or 10 days later during that series.
It was the same series.
Really?
NBA playoffs are so spread.
Yeah, exactly. He did it the same series.
That was the first round?
No, that was their second round, I think.
Oh,
okay. I think. It right. Fucking matters.
Well, that's when he pointed at me and just told me, you're the fucking problem. It's you. You're the problem.
Yeah, it was weird to see, like, so you're right, because
that double overtime game was in the hospital.
Yeah, well, Harry's, but that's not right, though. It doesn't matter, but because I took him home, am I sweating?
No, those arms are just fucking huge, though. I'll tell you.
What are you?
Just as bad, but I'm at least wearing a jacket over.
The Wizards game, because I took him, he died on Thursday. The Sunday before that, I took him to Mass General for hydration. We came back and watched game two, so it must have been game one. I brought him back and we watched game two, and he was, like, at that point, it was just kind of, that was the night he went out to dinner.
Jesus.
With
Brian North.
Yeah, and which was a mistake. And
he wanted to do it.
Why not? But probably not the best idea. It didn't matter. Anyway, got really sick. Went to the hospital and I never got out. I mean, went to hospice eventually, but never got out. But I brought him. We watched game two of that series. So it was game three that Isaiah Thompson. So at that point, we were already at the hospital. Game three was that
Isaiah
Thompson.
Yeah, you said
Thomas
it was a couple
game?
Days. Couple days yeah, later, we were watching from that run.
That seems right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went through over those 2 years. Obviously, mom and dad went through more, I guess, whatever. But what we went through those 2 years, for me, if you rank like the craziness of it, and it started, we could go with where it started, which was, I'll tell from my perspective, and Ryan could tell from his, you could tell from yours. I had the kids, Christine and the kids, for Julie's birthday party, right?
Yep.
So she would have been three?
Yes.
Four? Three? Oh, she's five
three, because 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
So I drive in there, right? I mean, you got there after I did, right?
You were third in.
Yeah, I just did.
I get there.
$1 short.
Pull in there. Pull into Ryan's house, which is, convenient drive. Pull in.
God's country.
Yeah. Pull in there. Go up. And, like, it's, these birthday parties now. You go in and, Harry and Kate just, boom. They both take off in different directions. And there's sort of the sea of people. And you don't really even pay attention to anything individually. You're just looking to get somewhere and hide so you can leave. Like, I did it
Tyler's birthday.
I perfected Tyler's birthday.
I don't think I said goodbye to anybody. I just walked away.
No, you just looked at me and said, I'm out.
Yeah. I don't think you had an issue with that, did you?
I talked about it to one of my friends after the fact.
Good. So everyone's running around all over the place. And at that point, so this is September 2015, right? Yeah, Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
So, like, Dad, I had been in Maine with Dad the weekend before. We were going to play golf, and he said this. He's like, my hip hurts a little bit weird. And I'm like, you just check it up to whatever. You don't even really care.
He thought he hurt his hip.
He went for a walk with Ben, his buddy in Maine. They did that 6-mile walk. Dad had the walk, man. He had his shorts on, probably his loafers, and
His jock.
The weird blender cup that you would make his drink, that you could actually like make the smoothies in.
He had the jock.
He had the jock. He probably had the stick for the dogs too.
I had the jock. He might have slept in it that night. I don't know.
Yeah, the jocks. I did not keep the jocks. I kept a handkerchief, but I did not keep the jocks.
That was a mistake.
Should have kept the jocks. I should have. So anyway, I go in there. So that, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking mom and dad are two totally healthy people on September, whatever it was, 2nd mm-hmm. or 3rd, 2015. Mm-hmm. So I walk in. I see everybody. I see you. I see Julie. I see whatever. I see Ann. I see kids running around, your neighbors, whatever, your weird work friends or whatever, that fucking crew. And then all of a sudden, I kind of focus on dad for a second. And I just say, hey, to him, and I'm going to get Harry to bring him to the bathroom, I think.
Yeah.
And dad looks at me, and his mouth is like open, like he looks like, you know, Curtis or whatever. He's like, hey. And I'm like, I'm still going to get Harry. I'm putting my head thinking, like, that's fucking weird. What's going on? Grab Harry. Going to walk over to dad, and Harry kind of runs away for some reason. You grab me.
Yeah.
And we go into the bathroom, I think, or something.
We all joined in the bathroom.
That was when I thought I had been there.
Right.
I think I might have had you first, and then we grabbed you.
Yeah, that's right.
You
did. You did. And I was like, and you were like, dad's had a stroke. And I was like, yeah, dad's definitely had a stroke. There's no doubt.
Was it a stroke or it was Connie?
Well, I was thinking, right.
Cancer wasn't even in my brain. It was a stroke.
I thought stroke or Connie.
So his brother, my dad's brother, Uncle Connie, our uncle, was diagnosed with brain cancer stage 4 in December of 2010 and died in June of 2011, I want to say.
Yeah.
It was right before your wedding.
Yep.
Your first of many.
My first, yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, it did happen.
It did happen.
So,
on record.
So I'm thinking that. What happened?
What a dick. Such a dick.
What's true? Because I...
No, I remember Michelle. No, I'm remembering because Michelle had a tough time at the wedding. I remember
she
that
did,
too.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. You know what's bad is like even then, like you kind of feel like an asshole because like you feel kind of bad for them, but you're like, you don't know. Like now you feel
have
worse.
No,
you know
what
I
mean?
Like, you have no
idea. He wasn't buried. It was he was on ice in Florida or something.
No,
like that.
Is that true?
No, that's not right.
No, he was buried.
No, he wasn't buried. He had been cremated, but he hadn't been yet. No, because I came back from my first I came back from my first honeymoon down to Rhode Island.
Oh, you did the Newport. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because of Florida and to get him up and all that, it was the whole process was going to take time anyway.
So anyway, we're thinking like that's what we're all thinking. So I go over to mom, of course, who at that point is completely healthy. We no idea, and this is just give you an idea of their relationship, the level of which how fucked up dad looked and sounded. If 1 is nothing and 10 is like holy shit, like he's going to die today, it was probably like an 8.
That's fair.
Yeah, I was gonna
seven
say,
or
that's
an 8.
Low. Yeah, I mean, it could be.
They weren't kind of on board for a couple of weeks. That was the thing is we didn't see them.
Yeah,
that was probably 2 weeks before when I saw him.
I was going to say, they were up there for a little bit?
Because we just talked to him, I think, on the phone. I remember you thought he had been drinking one night.
Yeah, I called him twice in the week on a Wednesday and Thursday before the party, and he just sounded shit-faced. And the second time was like 3:30 in the afternoon, and they did the cocktail hour at the pool.
Right.
So that's why I figured, I was like, well, he just had a drink or two.
Well, good job.
Thank you.
So,
I didn't let him drive.
So he drove from Kennebunkport to outside of Worcester, which is, you know, 2.5 hours.
It's 2 hours on the dot.
On the highway. And this guy, literally, if you saw him, you wouldn't think he'd be able to walk from, you know, 20 feet without falling down.
Not you would think. He actually couldn't walk
Mom could literally never fight dad over anything. Dad would drive all the time. Dad would have the remote. Dad would choose where we went to dinner. Dad would choose a movie they were going to. Anything. He was in charge of it. And that was like at its peak. So the three of us are together, and we're like, you know, we had no idea. We had no idea the 2-year thing we're about to enter right there. Well, not quite 2 years, I guess, but the thing we're about to enter. But we're sitting there thinking, what are we going to do? The two of you said, I remember you both of you guys said we should probably just leave it alone. I said, let's find a hospital for him.
That's inaccurate. I said we could give him the keys and just let him drive back to
Maine. Well, you went with them like Papagino's or something.
I drove.
You sure about that?
I did.
Who paid?
Trust me, huh?
Who paid?
I paid.
I actually
paid.
Really?
Yeah. I'll pull the receipts.
Oh, God, that's a while ago.
No, he came in. I made a joke that
EBT card.
That's true.
Fucked up.
So fucked up.
Hey, number one. Extra slice.
Yeah. You're telling me the lunch special stopped at noon?
So you go in there.
I know. He
What's
comes.
Weird is sorry. No, but 1 second.
Go ahead.
Who farted, by the way?
I did not.
I did not.
I did not.
Maybe I did.
You probably did.
So what's weird is I had the same thing. I talked to him that week, and I actually put in the back of my head, oh, he sounds kind of weird, but I never thought of it. I didn't think, and we didn't talk to him. Let's be honest. Like before this happened, we saw them all the time, but dad was not the guy that you would call.
No, I talked to mom.
You're right. You never.
You talked to him every couple weeks
dad
on the phone by accident.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say. Maybe he picked up her phone.
The longest phone conversation I had in my life with dad.
92 seconds.
No way it was ever 20 minutes.
No.
Oh, God. I'd be surprised if it was five. Honestly, right, I'd be surprised if it was five.
Right, you just had no interest.
Well, he'd feel the dead time and just finish the call.
All right, great. Okay, yeah. Okay, I've got to go. Okay, bye. But
Love you, too.
Love you, yeah. Kmart.
I have a nap on the couch I'm trying to get back to.
One of the greatest nappers of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, mini naps.
But he was good at it.
He was very good.
He put that remote right under his chin, and you couldn't take it. He would wake up.
I find myself doing the same thing now. It's ridiculous.
But James Bond, what?
But. Lenny didn't get him this time, did he, on Law & Order? God damn it.
But I did the same thing as you guys did, but you went to Papa Gino's with him. You obviously knew he was fucked up, but like we sat there talking in that bathroom, and we said, all right, well, we have to do something. And let's be honest here, as accomplished as well, at least as I am, and as old as the three of us are, like telling dad to do something, and you and I will tell a story about that later. Telling dad to do something was still, as grown men, not an easy, not something, by the way, we had no experience doing. None.
Right.
As fucked up as he was.
Scared shitless.
I was still thinking, like, not even that. I was just like, this is not going to happen.
No, that's what I mean.
Mom is crying, you know, which is unusual. Mom is crying in there. There's like kids running around all over the place. He's this fucking stupid birthday party, which you learned your lesson. Never have it at the house again with a kid that age.
In reality, I think we had it.
It's true. I guess.
Yeah.
Would have stayed up in Maine. Mom would let him drive more. Driving the freaking ocean.
Where, it's true. If they spent the summer, true. Like if they were the kind of couple like Ben and Sue up there that were there till like late.
Mom would
stay.
Never have stayed for an additional 2 hours.
One day, Dad would have just died.
Yep. You'd be in the was it?
And Mom would have propped him up and like had him drive probably.
What's the name of the hospital and
George Bush
down by
one?
The Bush, yeah, the Bush
it,
one.
Yeah. Well, there's one of Wells too.
That's where he would have went.
Right. So the three of us get together. We're like, all right, we'll talk to Dad. We bring Dad outside the front of your house there. Remember? Like,
shut the door.
No, we hadn't gone outside. We actually started to talk to him inside. And
like,
then
by
we
the door.
Him, yep. Right, and then we brought him out. And then we brought him outside. That's when you just.
And we're like, Dad, like you have to go somewhere. And he's like, I don't want to go.
His first line was a grin. Yeah, really, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. No, but it wasn't that fast. I was like, fuck you. Like, kidding around.
Right.
Like, he would. And we're like, no, Dad, you have to. You have to go. Like this is not good.
It's where you made your physical contact.
Like, I'm not going to Worcester.
Well, that's where you. Yeah,
I'm not going to Worcester.
Where you gave the great line where you were just said, "Hey, when we were growing up, we moved to Boston for this very reason. If there was ever any trouble, you told us get to a hospital, go to see a professional,
go to
blah 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 blah, and this is what we're going to do with you." And he legitimately had no.
Right, Dad's not
for
the
it.
Kind of person who would like have his children born in Worcester or something. Like,
no, exactly right.
About his family.
No, exactly right.
No, he wouldn't actually
around Boston,
or the greater Florida area.
Correct.
keep bringing it up.
I'm 50%.
It's true.
It's true. Well, Kay was born in Iowa. Wasn't really our choice.
Yeah, it's your fault, though.
That would have flown around the Boston. Do the children's. All right, back to my brothers here in just a second. But first, HelloFresh. I have teamed up with HelloFresh, and they are offering everyone in our audience, all the MinuteFans, $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code Minahan30. You choose your delivery day that works for you and pause for weeks when you're out of town. You can do that. HelloFresh offers a wide variety of recipes that change weekly. Three plans to choose from, classic, veggie, and family. Awesome. You know, one of the great things is if you have, like, my daughter, Kate, she'll be part of the experience as well. She likes the part of cooking. She likes to see it happen. Then she likes to eat what she's made afterwards. She feels good about herself. The food is healthy. It is nutritious, and it tastes great. I've enjoyed the meals sent to me. The burgers, by the way, are great. The juicy burgers with the salad, fantastic. You have a nice pasta if you like a lobster ravioli. Like Harry, who's a huge ravioli guy, you cannot go wrong. You will not spend all night in the kitchen. Recipes only take about 30 minutes. Lots of one-pot recipes for speedy cooking. Get cleanup. It's easy. It's like almost going to a restaurant. There's a classic menu as well. You feel confident with the simple recipes outlined, step-by-step instruction cards. Even a dummy like me, by myself, if the kids are away for the weekend or something, I can make meals there as well. Go to HelloFresh.com. Use the code Minahan30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. So eventually, Dad said, all right, I'll go to Mass General, which, like, it's funny because, like, we wound up in this relationship with Mass General. They were great. But if he'd said any hospital, we'd have gone there. We'd have been right there for 2 years. It was me, Mom, and Dad, right? We drove in.
Yep.
That you guys were at. So Christine stayed with the kids. I drove in. You guys met up with us later that day. So we drove in, and that was, for me, even at that point, like, count the times in your life where you drove with Dad, you know.
Five times.
Not a great, not a fun experience normally anyway. Ah, God damn it. What are you doing? But he was, like, fucking out of it. Like, it was weird.
Well,
I'm sitting there driving, and I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, I'm doing the math in my head, because it's September. And I'm thinking, okay, Uncle Connie died in 6 months, whatever it was. So I was like, it's September now. Dad's going to be dead. I remember thinking March. Like, Dad's dead. They're going to go in there. They're going to find a fucking thing the size of three golf balls in his head like they did with Connie, who was a great guy and had this, you know, weird last few months. I felt so bad for him. We went to see him in Florida. He was always kind of out of it, the poor guy.
Oh, I saw him the last week. He was just gone.
Yeah, right.
Gone.
I mean, it was awful. This is a guy who was a rocket scientist, legitimately.
And a strong.
Alpha guy. And I'm thinking, we're going to do this with Dad. We have no experience with this. We have no idea what's going on. We're driving. We get there. We're sitting there waiting. And we're sitting there at the waiting room, not for long, by the way. We get in there fast. They know something's going on. Dad turns to me. He's like, what do you know about Uber? I'm like, holy shit. This is how it works. We go in, and we're in there for, that's Saturday or Sunday, right?
That was Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. We did it Saturday. So then
it gets much worse, and they do all these tests. They don't know shit. It gets ruled out pretty early that it's not a brain tumor.
Yeah, they did a scan pretty quick,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. I mean, I think everybody thought that's what it was. So they rule it out pretty fast. And now they're in this weird thing where they have no fucking idea what's going on.
They knew it was his kidneys fast. That was the one thing they could say.
His numbers were terrible.
His kidney function was low.
But they didn't know why it was. By the time we got there, they still had no answer.
No, I don't. We guys weren't there that much later. It was later that afternoon.
A couple hours later, probably a few
hours
later.
Yeah, you played quick nine, drove in.
A range.
38. A couple balls. So we're there, the four of us, and then Chris, everyone sort of shows up. And we wind up going upstairs, and Dad is almost like essentially like in a coma in a weird way for a day. And we're in this now. We're in this world where with Dad, there was not a lot of affection. There was not a lot of like, you know, helping him. We're dragging him in the bathrooms. We're helping him go to the bathroom. We're bringing him back. And we're thinking, I remember thinking like, he's going to fucking die. Like,
we're not getting out. This is where you stay.
You know,
it was the second or third night, right?
So Monday, Labor Day itself, I think, we found out. I had never in my life heard of multiple myeloma, ever. Nope. I had no idea what it was.
Right.
I was thinking like melanoma. Like, I didn't know what was going on. They walked us through it, and they didn't give us a real diagnosis at that point. It was kind of like, you know.
Well, you and I don't know where you were, but you and I were sitting in there when they officially like said it.
Right.
I don't know why, but that's where the doctor came in. Gave somewhat of the diagnosis, and you handed your phone over to me because you looked it up on Google right then, and it had the timeline on it.
For each stage.
Yeah, yeah. And then
they gave us a stage at that point.
They gave us the stage because we knew it was 2 to 3. We knew best case it was 2 to 3 years.
That's right.
I think you had gone home within the hour.
Unlike mom, where there were four stages for traditional cancer. There's only three for multiple myeloma. Right. He had three, and it was sort of it was that. So we found out what it was, and I'd say by like Wednesday, maybe he was. Pretty good. Like,
he was fine.
Yeah, you're right.
It was weird.
When they found out what it was, they gave him the steroids. They were able to do it.
Well, they kept saying to us over and over again, we can cure his kidneys now and we can give him steroids, but then we won't know what's wrong with him. And I remember thinking it was bullshit because like he was just so fucked up.
Right.
And the second they figured out what it was, they got him the next day. He was awake talking about the Red Sox and talking about.
It was bizarre.
Right. You can just cut 2 to 3 guys.
Just have Northeastern play.
Just money. Doesn't matter.
It's just money.
John Henry does not care about the money. It doesn't matter. Just do it.
He's a billionaire.
He was back to normal.
In the end,
an awesome run for like,
Jesus.
He had three months.
He had a bad first. His first dose on chemo screwed him up. He got put back in because he got those fevers. Right. And then after that, they changed the dosage and he was awesome.
Right.
Honestly,
Dad got back, I had a worse year because of the shingles than Dad did.
Fair.
I'd say you have a worse winter.
Fair.
Huh?
You had a bad winter.
I did.
I'll give you the winter.
But I had the shingles in September.
Did you have? Yeah, I'm pretty quick.
Right after. Stress. You couldn't handle it.
Four and a half months off of work for you.
I missed a week of work.
Did you miss a week?
I did. I thought
it was the second week.
No, I missed I missed Thursday and Friday the next week.
And then the next week.
Those are Dino. I don't fucking be here anyway.
No.
So that happened. He had an awesome run. You're right, for however long. And then, like, it's weird. I mean, I think we'll do a different one with Mom at some point. I kind of want to do that, too, for everyone. But with Dad, he had a good run. But after that, he was never, once he got kind of sick again, it was fucking constant. Like, he never had a great period after that again.
No, it was until Ireland. When you guys,
but he wasn't even really.
No, Ireland, he was fucked up in Ireland. Ireland was not going to happen.
Ireland was questionable.
We weren't going to go to Ireland.
They had the ability, was it 2 weeks before Ireland or something like that, where they said we can fluid you up, we can give you a couple of these types of shots that will make you feel okay.
He was already sick.
He didn't really have the fight either.
No, he didn't. It was weird. Like, Mom fought harder than Dad on it in a weird way. Like, I think Dad was just pissed. Mom's was obviously pancreatic cancer, the worst you can have. But Mom was like healthy. Feeling good, like, I don't know, 85% of the time? 80% of the time?
Other than the first time she got her ass kicked?
After the shitty, I agree.
No, absolutely.
Until the legs?
Well, the legs were the end.
That was April, right?
That was the end of March. We went the end of March. And Dad was, at that point, yeah. But so, but, but right, we went to Ireland. And Dad was pretty good in Ireland until the very end. He got sick with a couple of days ago. He was in the hospital. I mean, Dad probably went to the hospital over the course of this 15 or 20 times, probably.
That's probably fair.
And probably had 6 or 7 different treatments.
And 3 or 4 times actually admitted.
Yeah.
Right? Like, actually legitimately admitted, like, for days, yeah.
Yeah, he just didn't, once after that initial one, and he was going to do the thing when mom got sick, the thing where they're going to isolate
stem cells. Yeah, he was going to do that. He was going to do that at that point.
The stem cell, but he couldn't do it. Mom got sick.
Yeah.
Well, he was going in. He was going in 3 days later or something like that.
His also numbers weren't his numbers weren't good enough to do it either.
He didn't qualify. Yeah. And there was all that stuff.
That was going to fuck him up. I remember that was the one thing about that. That was going to be a bad.
He didn't want to do it.
That was going to be a bad 30 days.
He was be isolated for five weeks.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to say. But
we could see him. We had to be all the kids couldn't go.
No kids. You couldn't give him anything unless it was already bought and boxed. Like it couldn't. It had to be in plastic.
He didn't. Yeah. He didn't want to do it. But at that point, his doctor really, I think, pushed him towards it. And whatever she said, she made the pitch
that if he did this, chemo will be easy in comparison to what you do. Like your remission, whatever it would be longer.
Yeah. To give you an idea of Dad, though, like, so they wanted to go to Ireland. Dad wanted to go to Ireland one more time, which I thought was a great idea. I had absolutely no. We said to him all the time, we'll do it there. Nova Scotia. We brought my mom to Nova Scotia. Whatever you want, like whatever you guys want to do, just let us know. We'll do it. I could take off work. I don't care. It's whatever you guys want to do. So it was the opening. It was Price's first game with the Red Sox. I remember we were watching it in a chemo. Mom was having chemo. Remember she went overnight that one time for chemo?
She had the allergy.
Yeah, that's right.
So she had to do an overnight.
So it was there for that. So I was sitting there with them. And Dad turned to me, and Dad was not feeling great at that point. And he said, you know what we'd like to do is your mom and I would like to take Kate to Ireland for 2 weeks this summer for a trip.
Go ahead, take her. It's fine.
I said, you know, Dad, that doesn't, and it was weird as you got, like, as the process goes along and along, and it's sort of the switching of, like,
the brain.
Not that you're the father and he's the son at that point, but it's like you're kind of equal. And you can kind of say to Dad, like, that's, like, really not going to happen, like, intellectually. Let's try and now at that point you're dealing with somebody who's not, I'd say his function is still good, but he's a little shaky. I'm like, Dad, that's really, really, really not going to happen. Like, we're not going to do that. What if you go and you get sick? Then it's you, Mom, and Kate in the hospital for 2 weeks. Or what if you guys go and Mom gets sick? It's going to be you and Kate hanging around the hospital. Like, I said, I'll go with you guys. That was the original plan. It was the four of us were going to go, which I have to be honest, like, it was fine. But part of me was dreading it because I thought statistically one was going to get really, really sick on this trip. I mean, Mom at that point, it had pancreatic cancer for how long?
6 months.
I mean, we were kind of at that point.
So we're looking at the next couple of months, anything's possible.
Every time she got her scan reads, every time she got her blood work, every time you're waiting for it to triple, double.
Half that 6 months was her in that first treatment where she was just so fucked up.
Sick. All the way through April and March. Right. When we went to Murphy's
office. She was only really healthy for about 30, you know, for 60 or 90
maybe
days
2 months
before you guys went.
Point.
Right.
Yeah.
So we finally talked to her, and then we said, you know, we'll just bring everybody in our family. We went. It was great. I mean, Mom felt awesome on that trip. I remember the last night we went to eat to this really nice restaurant. We took him to this really nice restaurant, and Mom fucking chowed. And I was looking at her in, like, a weird way. I was almost like in a weird, like, angry, like, are you fucking sick? Like, what the fuck? Is this bullshit? Like, she was chowing. And Dad was, at that point, was getting, you know how Dad got before he would get sick? He was getting a little, like,
angry.
A little edgy, and he flew back, and then we went up to the hospital the next day. But, you know, he lived for, like, another, almost, what, 8 months after?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the last 8 months, like, for him, sucked. They
I was
going
to say, I'd say four of the eight, he was okay.
Yeah, but
he
was always
terminal.
Like,
but the last 4 months, it was just in and out, fluids. It was,
just nonstop fluids, my God, yeah.
Right, he'd go a couple of times a week, he'd go every day, and his doctor, Dr. O'Donnell, was awesome at Mass General. She tried hard. He fought until, like, I think at that point, he was kind of done. And then, like I said, that Sunday night, we got a call. It's the last call I got in my house that's been like somebody I know, like a person, like calling my house phone. It was Mom calling, and she said, Dad can't breathe. I'm going to bring him into to Mass General. Because she was, they went to dinner that night.
Mm-hmm.
The day before, Mom drove him to like
Johnson's
Groton for Mass General. I mean, it was just, you know, it was crazy.
Stupid, but I mean, what he wanted.
Well, before we get into that, though, I want to do this. Like, telling your dad that he can't drive anymore is...
That was a
weird, good move by you.
Conversation.
Weird. You weren't there for that, right?
No, I missed out on that.
Ugh.
That was the weirdest day. Well, not the weirdest day, but one of the weirdest days was we got news on my dad.
I forgot about driving.
You weren't. You went because you. I think you went home.
I was. I was at the meetings where we had the discussions. But really, I wasn't.
No, you were. You were. This is in the middle of the day on a friggin' Tuesday.
No, we got. It was a day that mom got checked out of the hospital.
That's right.
So my mom was in for 4 or 5 days with. Mom was in 4 or 5 days with, like, her legs were just all fucked up. They were terrible. It was a pancreatitis or whatever they called it.
Yeah.
Like she, it was just brutal. So, ultimately, it's really why she decided to stop fighting.
Mm-hmm.
More than the stomach.
She couldn't walk.
And it was painful all the time. So we got her out after a couple of days. She was actually feeling okay. While that was going on, while they were checking her out, we were in a meeting with Dr. O'Donnell, my dad's oncologist. And she said, you know, we have one more treatment left, really. This one's not working. You've got one more. And he was fucked up at that point. And I said, we're going to drive you home. Or Joe and Teresa, my dad's sister and her husband. I see my, you know what I mean. We're going to drive her back because he could not drive anymore. And basically, he made a break for it while we were up going to see mom. Made a break for it.
Swayze.
And then he went home.
Swayze,
I
got point
a
break. For
it. I remember getting a call from Teresa saying, your dad's driving. And I went from one end of Mass General sprinting across like Jerry Maguire at the airport to watch dad, like cinematically, watch dad drive. You know, you take that shortcut through the jail that's a hotel now.
Yeah.
I saw him do it, and I was like, this fucking guy is going to drive home at 5 o'clock in Boston.
You're texting me because I'm driving into Boston at
that
point.
Oh, that's what it was. That's right.
Yeah.
So we wound up. So this is going on. We bring mom home, right?
Yeah, and I circle back. I just turned around and meet you in
Lexington. We pick up mom. I bring mom home. And the three of us meet, and I'm like, I'm dreading this. I'm like, this is going to be a war. And we said to dad, you literally can't drive anymore. Like, this is insane. And he was like, he didn't fight it.
That's his last moment.
Like, what he said was, he's like, when you say this to me, that means
it's over.
I can never drive again. Yeah. And we lied to him. We're like, no, if you feel better. But
we had this conversation once before when you got sick before that.
That's
we got to give
we
it a couple
for a while. Right?
And I was like, you know, look what happened last time. It can happen again. Blah blah blah. But this is what O'Donnell wants.
Right. But then you could tell. But everyone knew it was bullshit.
It was also the first time and all the times it happened that they were both sick. Like, at least at the other times when
that's
he was
true.
Sick and
true.
He couldn't do
know,
it,
so
she could drive,
yeah,
she,
right.
she got
sick,
healthy,
she sick,
whatever,
sick,
it always
yeah.
go up and down, and that was
right.
the one time where it was clear.
So he signed up for Uber, which because he would go to, one thing about him is he loved more than anybody I know, loved going out to eat, he loved going out to breakfast with his friends, he loved having dinner with, like, he loved going out.
He loved to drive, he wanted to go to Dunkin', be able to go to Dunkin' Donuts to pick up his coffee, he wanted
right.
to go and be
get
able to go to get the paper, he wanted to go to get dinner with his friends,
or go find a breakfast place that he didn't know about, he loved fucking love shit like that. It was funny. We went, Harry and I remained a couple weeks ago, and we were at Provisions. He went to the Provisions place up there, and somebody walked by, and they said, you know anywhere else to get breakfast? And Harry looked at these adults. He's like, yeah, you can go to All Day Breakfast, which is, you know, that place up by. Yeah. And I was like, how do you know that? He's like, Grampy brought me there. So, of course, I'm like fucking crying like a loser in the middle of a
give it time.
Dog square.
Jesus pussy.
Yeah. Shit. But that was like, cutting his arms off at that point. And that, I mean, he lived for a month after that, but yeah. that was a pathetic day. I remember driving home like, holy fucking shit, this is now, we're finally, like, because the whole time, you know, I remember Christine said, she's like, every day you're kind of waiting for that, like, that news that, you know, at that point, the real bad shit's coming. At that point, we knew that with both of them, like, it was, you know, mom was not responding well, there was shit in her stomach they couldn't see. Because the test couldn't get
through. Yeah, well, there was a lot of non-answers for all
her legs. Were, like,
her legs were getting bad. She was getting grayer. Like, I mean,
yeah, she had a weird
complexion.
Look her face.
Yeah.
And dad was just like a shell. He was a mess.
Well, you said that time when we were actually with her at the hospital in April. Like, he came to the hospital with her, and I mean, it was like 9 minutes.
Yeah, one thing they would always do
down.
Is they'd stay there, and we'd bring him home sometimes, but they'd stay a couple of hours. Dad came that day, that Saturday.
Was that the one that Mike was there that they came in and we were just? Was that day?
I don't remember. You might be right, but I remember Dad came. For like a half hour, and said, "I'm going to go home now." And
he's just sleep sitting up.
I remember we looked at him, we're like, "That's it. He's you know." And of course, we let him drive home.
Yes, that was smart. That was fine.
But we get that call. Sorry, so we get that call. He died Thursday. We get that mom calls the house Sunday night. She's driving in with him at that point. Christine actually went in because I went in the next morning. We switched off. You were already there. We were just getting there or something, and then you got there a little bit later, and he was. At that point, like, I couldn't believe what he looked and sounded like. His voice was totally different.
He was down.
He was weak. And we kind of went through it for a few days, and we kind of waited. And that first day, and we were just kind of waiting. We're like, maybe we'll go to this hospice. It was this great hospice where my grandmother, where Nana went also. She passed. And we were trying to get him there. And after a day or two, we're like, you know what? Fuck it. This isn't going to happen. He's going to die here at Mass General. All right. It's been, you know, it's time. I think we all knew it was time. So that night, We switched off. You stayed in. You stayed in.
You forget one point. The two nurses at like 6:30 that night said to us that the night where we thought he was going to die, the two nurses actually said to us, based on his breathing patterns, he probably won't make it through the night.
Yeah.
So you're officially convinced. Right. The only we've never gotten timelines.
No, well, and his breathing was awful. Yeah, we're sitting there thinking, you know,
it's Tuesday night.
So it was that night. Right, it was the night that Isaiah Thomas had 50 points. He went 53 points. Yep. So we switched off. I said, I'm going to go in the. There was that meeting. Whatever. What am I saying?
There was two weight rooms. Visitor rooms.
Yeah.
You could book, and you could book them because they knew people would be sleeping.
So I said, I'll go in there. I'm going to sleep for 2 hours. Ryan, wake me up. So I kind of went in there thinking like, there's a chance that I'll get, but probably not. So Ryan wakes me up and after an hour and a half or so, and I'm like, oh shit, fuck, I missed it. I'm getting ready. And you're like, you're not going to believe what's going on. So I walk down the hall and literally dad had been out of it, like literally out of it for a couple of days. Couldn't speak.
Hadn't been awake in 24 hours.
He hadn't eaten anything, had any water. Walk in the chair next to the bed, his dad's sitting there. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Which then kicked off the oddest, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours.
Until about 8:30 in the morning the next morning.
It was 8 o'clock at night until 7:30
in the morning. That was the one shitty nurse. That's the one shitty nurse we had the whole process.
Yeah.
She had that changeover nurse at 7 a.m., and it was about an hour and a half until she got his meds
regulated. That's the only nurse who never said goodbye to us ever.
That's right.
She sucked. She fucking sucked. I hate her.
Just begging her to go and just keep giving her more meds.
Dad kept trying to get up, and he wouldn't get up, and he tried to get down, and he kept saying, I want to crawl.
Do you think I can crawl?
I wanted to see Jim Sullivan, his old neighbor when he was a little kid in Somerville, and like his mom, and I'm like, this is like fucking unbelievable. This is happening. He was getting mad at us. Not as mad at me and you.
No, mostly Adam.
Right. No, mostly
more at Adam.
But he even asked at one point about the game. I remember
the next morning.
The next morning, he actually said he didn't have any fucking idea.
But Isaiah Thomas,
right?
I'm like, is this what the fuck is going on?
You're saying they won? Did they? Right. Oh my god, they won!
I try and describe that night, and it's like impossible. We were picking him up, lifting him, putting him down, telling him to sit down, and he wanted a drink. He wouldn't have a drink.
He'd take a sip of Coke.
Right.
He'd take a sip of Coke out of a straw.
He was so skinny, and he was so confused, and you're sitting there saying,
but he was strong enough that he would get up.
Between
him and mom, and I'm not going to get into the mom thing. Down, like he would get up.
We have to force him back.
There's a lot of blocking. A nurse standing in front of him.
The nurse would come in and she'd be like, "Okay, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll just give a little more medication."
They kept saying they're like, "We don't want to give him Ativan because of delirium."
No. The nurse didn't. That night nurse didn't say that because she was an idiot.
Yeah.
The morning nurse is like, "Well, the reason why we don't want to go to this is because they can go and get delirious." Like, well, what the fuck is that right now?
We're here.
Take the last 6 hours.
But that was I mean, I describe it, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way. That was the worst night of my life, and it freaks me out.
No doubt.
Freaks me out that other people go through that for more than one evening with something like that.
It's crazy.
That was the longest 11 hours, 10 hours of my life.
Then he was dead the next, I was into Wednesday morning.
Into Wednesday morning.
We brought it back to the hospice, which was
24 hours on the dot, and he died.
Yeah, which is, the hospice was great. It was one night. I made sure, I took care of business. I opened the window.
Yeah, you sure as hell did.
You created a fever that didn't exist.
That was great. But it was friggin' June. It was May.
Dude, it was like 50 degrees outside.
I didn't open last night.
You're a lunatic.
But I cannot have, you know, like a little fresh air?
A little fresh air, but I don't like fresh air when it's 48 out.
No, it's cold. You're going to get sick.
Oh, okay.
I'm sleeping on the blow-up mattress with a sheet. You slept on that great couch.
Yeah, I don't think I won that.
Nobody won. I got two blankets. You got the sheet. That was about I think you were the only one without a blanket.
And I had to sleep on the fold-out chair the day before.
Oh god, that was shit too. Oh my god.
But it sucks. Like it's like it's more mom with dad. I think a mom is like my picture mom in my mind now. I still seem sick mom. With dad, I think of like previously sick dad more.
Yeah.
Like a weird way.
Well, he also never presented. Mom lost her hair after.
Dad lost a shitload of weight.
He lost a lot of weight, but he also
got fat. Like he also during a point of that he put that
weight
back on.
The family picture with the white, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, he had a gut again.
The family picture
in Maine,
the beach.
He was huge.
No, in Ireland, he was big.
He was sick.
Yeah. And he dropped. The doctor telling him to lose weight.
That was great.
He's the first person in the history of cancer to be told by a doctor. You might need to diet a little bit here.
You're going to lose some of that. Stop having all those ice creams.
But it's hard. For 16 months, she lost her hair. Even when she didn't lose her hair, she was so gray and green when she was on that first chemo. She was sick looking for 2 years.
Sunken face and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, dad. We played in that Jimmy Fund tournament with dad while he was terminal.
Like, we did?
He was, we played in one.
One.
He did the first one. We did the first one that summer, yeah.
Yeah.
But he was,
I guess it's the only one that we would
I played with him in Arundel a couple of times. You guys played with him a couple of times. Like, he was still,
Yeah,
you can still do that.
Hell of an athlete.
Absolutely. I remember that day, that Sunday, the last time we went for hydration day when I brought him, we parked in the we cheated the cheating way on Mass General to get the parking spot. You know, you go up there and because he wouldn't let me drop him off, he would never let me drop him off in front. Mm-hmm. I think I told you guys this when we took the elevator. We parked. I don't know. As the studio is right now, there's the show is and there's a producer's booth behind. I'd say from there to there is the elevator. And it took Dad like 13, 14 minutes to get to the elevator, literally. And he's like, I don't know if I'll be able to play 9 holes of golf. I said, well, you will, Dad. Eventually you will. But it took like for, well, remember, he was his feet.
Shuffle walk. Yeah. Right. Well, I got him that first day when we started doing the Uber and he had to get the biopsy. Remember that? And that was in like the last 6 weeks or whatever. And he got out of the Uber and we stayed outside of Lexington at their townhouse for... It took us 30 minutes to get inside to walk to that distance. It was that way.
For the last couple of months,
and it was all from. I mean, I'm sure the biopsy was sore, but he was just so spent.
Right. Meanwhile, they had houses with 5,000 stairs,
four different 90-degree angle turns.
But yeah, we'll go here in a minute or two. When you think of Dad, you still think of him as sick or no? We make fun of, like, we talk about Dad way more than we talk about Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
It's hard not to remember when the day he died, walking, taking that right turn when he was in the hospice bed. That's the one thing that sticks in my head.
Yeah, I mean, that was the hit. Well, he had had the...
Lost all of his blood.
Lost all the blood.
He bled out.
That's the one thing that, I mean, like, and when thinking about him, I don't think about him during the chemo. I don't think about him during, like, actually, like, that week.
He looked kind of the same then.
Yeah, but that sticks.
So, like, Mom, when Mom died, like when we even, like, when we, so when we saw, you know... We wanted closed caskets for both of them. I think they did too. I don't even remember if we really didn't have that discussion.
They did. Yeah. I mean, they never fully committed to it, but they did.
I remember when we saw Dad. He bled out. He bled out of his nose and his ears and his eyes and everything. Bled out. We saw him. You know, when you saw him, he was done with that at the hospital.
The blood platelet served whatever he was getting.
And the people at Dory's did an awesome job. They were really great to us both times. But like they did the best they could. So they opened the casket for us to see. It wasn't open to the public. We just said, we're not going to do that. And it was like, they honestly, I think they did everything they could, but you couldn't, it was unbelievable. You're like,
his lips were the same color as his skin.
Yeah, it was just weird. And they did an awesome job. Yeah. Like, really, I mean, they didn't. We wanted their clothes, and they do it for us. And I thought Mom, in a weird way, like, looked, she looked okay. Yeah. I mean, she was dead, but she looked, sometimes dead.
Considering how she had looked the 7 days, she looked good. Yeah. There was color to her skin.
Dad was like, it was fucking horrifying. And And it sucked. And like the last 6 or 7 months for him sucked. He had no joy. Mom still through it all. Like it toward the end. Like she went to Maine with us, and then she went to Maine with you.
I had her in Maine 2 weeks before she died. She drove around the Target scooter thing because.
But like we went out to dinner one night in Maine, and she was trying. We walked around Dock Square, and she was smiling. And she was trying. Like she was. Dad, and I don't blame him. He just had a fucking shitty hand and wanted no part of it for the last few months. And that's sort of He lived life like, he had an awesome life. He accomplished great things, but he lived life, I think, as like a pessimistic guy. You know, like he was a glass is half empty guy. Like he was not an optimist.
Well, I think that makes sense for all three of us in the room.
But I think he had that. Like Mom was not like that.
No.
So I think when Dad had that, he just got, he tried to fight it. But then when he knew it was over, he was a smart guy too. He was a pragmatist. He knew the odds. He knew when it was over, it was over. Mom, I think, until the very, very end, really until even that
meeting. Until that day we went in,
Wanted she wanted to live. Dad did not want to live at the end. He just didn't want to live at the end.
No.
Yeah, the way he was. I mean, the way he was.
In the final 3 weeks, when he was going in daily for fluids and all that, I mean, you just saw it.
They were going to have a great 15 or 20 years. They really were. Damn. They had the place in Marco Island. They had the place in Maine. They had six grandkids. They were all local. I mean, they were going to have an awesome run, and it just got totally, completely fucked. Starting with that day, which is still, kind of the first act of this weird 2-year play. But yeah, when I think of Dad, I still think of him as sort of like this all. I think of him still. I always say this. He will always remain the dominant figure in my life. There's no doubt about that. He is always going to be the guy who hangs over everything, every decision I make, everything I do professionally, everything I do with my kids, whether it's good or bad. And there are both. You learn from your dad. Everything. It's probably fathers and sons, but he is going to be, I think, the guy that you're going to try and please. And, it's not going to happen, but that's, I think, always going to be the effort.
Oh, without a doubt. And like you said, to start it off with, it's unbelievable because you didn't have to do it with Mom. It's the exact opposite person for
totally.
The exact opposite people. And yeah, every single decision I make, it's going to be in the back of my head. It was that guy still just pain in the ass.
Agree.
Well, funny Peter Manhand story before we go. Any other good ones?
I kind of took over with the Masters.
I mean, the image of dad, like a great image of dad growing up for me was we would go. This was like almost tradition. We would go down to the Cape to see his mother,
yeah,
my pa.
And we have a roast beef dinner,
mm-hmm.
which dad loved.
It's a freaking risky meal before an hour drive home.
Oh my god!
And he would eat that, and we'd eat that. And we got a couple of cookies. Remember, we got the chocolate chip cookies, were excellent.
Great.
Before we go, poor Ma was the best, but it's when Teresa always says we knew that her brain was starting to go is when she would make the cookies without the chocolate chips at the end.
That's right.
I remember getting them and being like, something's not right. But she'd give us Sprite, though, too.
Yes, that's right.
Which we'd never have at home.
Yeah.
Which really lasted, by the way, till fucking when Ryan was a teenager.
Yeah.
There was no sugar cereals in the house, no soda in the house.
Nothing.
Just wore them down. Should thank us.
Yeah.
So dad would drive home in about
six root canals later, but
yeah. No, what are you going
to
do?
You guys really made it easy.
One cavity.
About 45, 50 minutes in the drive, dad would say, Jesus. Mom would say, Peter, pull it. Trish, no, God, I want to make it home. It's because it was Sunday. I wanted to read the fucking Sunday Globe and take a shit in the house. So we'd be flying home and being the white Beamers one I always remember.
Always.
We'd be going like 100. Dad fucking flew. When he was younger, he fucking flew.
See, I was too young to really.
I'm telling you, like 100, like 90 to 100 miles an hour.
Completely. Like, you'd be going 110, 115 miles an hour.
No
on,
car seats, just
on 93. No, absolutely not. No seatbelts. Going through 93, you'd be getting off the Winchester exit.
Jesus Christ. The rotary. Yeah, the Fells.
Whatever the rotary's called. So you go down there, you'd be flying, you'd be going through,
South
lights.
Border Road.
South Border Road. Going through lights, going up there. Okay, let's go. He'd pull into the driveway, boom, spoom, run, sprint in front of us, and look around. The globe would be somewhere else. He didn't think it was. Where's the goddamn globe? Where is it? He'd be running around, get it, sprint upstairs, and you hear,
It's in that house. He was in that house for over 30 years, and I guarantee he only used that bathroom.
He never used ours.
I've never
That's
seen
a great
him.
Point.
I've never seen him use.
He might use a downstairs bathroom.
No. He'd pee in there. That was.
No. But I'm saying like in an emergency situation, maybe once or twice.
And if he knew he could make it upstairs to take a piss, he'd walk upstairs.
Yeah,
absolutely, it's a good bathroom.
Modern bathroom.
It's a very very modern bathroom.
Great. What's it called? Great window over you though.
It's huge.
Sun in there.
Great closets. Absolutely.
Yeah, they built. I mean, they designed it. They were saying. My Aunt Sandra was saying, dad was super into that. He loved designing that shit. He loved designing the friggin' place in Nova Scotia that they knocked down and did. He loved, if he could do it all over again, he owned a restaurant and friggin' like been an architect firm, I think. He was weird, but he was a numbers guy.
A great restaurant owner.
But a busy restaurant. What do you guys got? Anything? It's been an hour. No, that's it?
What?
No more stories? It's okay. You don't have to have any. It's really all right.
No.
We've gone long here.
Are you sure?
Yeah, we're fine. We'll do this again for Mom, I think, on her birthday or Mother's Day or something. That's a whole different story. Although Dad's going to tie into that, too, all the way.
I mean,
they're so intertwined.
It's just impossible not to.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's bizarre. It's still bizarre, whatever, 6 months later for Dad. But that's a Peter Manhand story. I hope he doesn't come across. He was an asshole, and he wasn't an asshole at the same time.
He's a quality asshole.
Yeah, he was not. He could be... As he got older, he was much softer.
I got I got a couple ass styles when he was at the office, and you can hear the version of Peter Manhand.
Chewing
somebody
up.
Right, but that's. I mean, I think that was what he was.
But I think he was. I think he was an asshole when, like, I think of it now. Like, so I'm 43. I was 17 when Dad was 43.
Yep.
Like and his dad was fucked up.
Yeah, that's insane.
He grew up with a fucked up dad. So. He think he did the best he could. As he got older and sort of smarter and realized realized his mistakes. He was a much, much, much better dad like the last 15 or 20 years.
When the grandkids.
You could have a conversation with them too.
The grandkids make it all easy. They really did. I mean, I think I look at my relationship with Dad from whatever, 10 till now. A decade in there where we just didn't like each other very much. I mean, he loved me, but it was very complicated and bad back and forth. But like Dad, from when I was 22 until now, it was awesome, and I have more better memories with him during that time than I do with Mom because of just the sporting stuff, the golf, all of that, and it's
the constant golf.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's thank God for golf.
I mean, the weird part about the golf thing is that's how I probably will always remember him. Those are the go tos.
Spend the most time.
Watching
stuff.
And
God,
the guy
just sucked.
And I'll tell you. Well, I mean, not only that. Yeah. I mean, I go
it's
back.
Amazing
to
Amazing how much he played and how bad he was.
He's the only person that I knew that spent that much money in a game and got worse. And on top of that, like I mean the. The 2-1, the story with, you know, where'd your kids get your athletic ability from? Your fucking wife.
That was at the Jimmy Fund, right? Jimmy,
No. That was at Norfolk. We were teeing off of the teeing off of the first tee in Norfolk, and the guys were standing in the back on the ledge there, like
the bar,
and
yeah,
screaming. He just looked over and he's like, "What a fucking asshole!" But like,
yeah, fuck you.
Just that's the stuff. Like I honestly don't think he liked actually playing golf with us, because you hitting yourself, me swearing, and you
freaking out,
doing whatever. In the grand scheme, he loved being able to be with his son.
Yeah,
that's one thing mom would say a lot afterwards. She's like, "You don't realize how much he talks about like you guys golfing when you guys are."
Yeah,
golfing.
I was thinking of the wake. Everyone said how much he talked about us.
He hated it when we were there. It's unbelievable.
Right. Remember that one year he was hurt and he couldn't play and he just used him. So were you there?
That was the year that I played.
I don't remember.
That was the year that I played. Just, were you there, just followed the cart.
I was there at the back. It was the back. That's the phantom back injury.
Was that the year Butchie played with us?
Maybe. No, I played that year. Did he play? Maybe one of the years.
No, Butchie might have been the Butchie might have stepped
in. No, I thought Butchie was a substitute. And Dad, I think Dad just
Dad
drove
pulled out. Yeah, right. And he just drove up. He drove up to the aiming point, which was never the aiming point.
That's right. Smart guy had no idea how to play a goddamn golf course.
Unbelievable.
I would aim for this spot, hitting my 192 off the tee. So I'm gonna have him to be the same line.
But that's it. And he was not one of those grandfathers who was like, you know, he was not going to come over by himself and babysit the kids. That was not happening.
But he was not scared of holding them and
no, he was
loving
good
them.
At that.
And, yeah. But Jesus, you left them alone.
And one of my daughter, you know, I'm got the only kid who's going to remember him. So there you go. Fuck off.
Man, congratulations.
I win.
It's good for you.
It's great.
Your kids will never
know. I'll tell you, I remember.
She's not a real Minahan, though. So there you go.
That's true. They will never know, ever know your mom and dad ever, Ryan. That will never happen.
It's true.
You can pretend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Mine's worse. I mean, Julie might. Even,
Julie would be like, "Oh yeah," and I'll be like, "No, that's bullshit.
You're lying, Julie."
it's like Nicole with Papa. No, come on. What?
What do you mean? She might have a great memory.
She doesn't have a great memory. How old was she when she died? When he died?
Probably five.
Four.
Oh, please. Five. I mean, come on. Give me a break. So she remembers.
Like, she sees a lot of videos and stuff.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Which
that
you can do.
Same thing that Julie will see.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And you think with that, you know, the phones, all the videos, all the pictures. But I was the other day. I was thinking. I looked at my old voicemails, thinking if I had any old voicemails I didn't delete from mom or dad. None.
That
kills. That's the one thing that hurts.
Sucks. That's your fault.
Hmm?
That's stupid. I mean, you should have known they were dying. It's fucking dumb.
That's not.
I did the same.
I believe in saving my data and keeping space on my phone. So I
have one, but he left it, and it was actually on Harry's birthday. He was calling because it was April 23rd, and remember, they didn't go to his birthday. You guys both went. Remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
At that point, he was.
No, they were done.
He left a message.
Mom was just out or just before.
And she was driving. They were driving somewhere that day. It's when she was driving a little bit, but then she didn't. But yeah, that is a rough one. That they're not going to remember him. I mean, Harry too. Obviously, it kind of sucks. I mean, they remember him now, but you can even a little bit.
Yeah, Emmy officially. She's two in a week. We put up. I have the pictures up in the room, and
she'll know who they are just from memory. But
yeah, I mean, yes, but I mean, every once in a while, it's just like, who's that? Who's that? And she'll remember Grandma, but not Grampy, or Grampy, but not Grandma.
See, that's likely remembers. Likely doesn't know Mom healthy.
Right.
So when the old pictures come up, where she's brunette with little thick, she has no idea who she is. When she sees her sick, she doesn't, but she recognizes Grandpa, but Grampy, but that's only for how long, so.
Nah, it's an optimistic ending to this podcast.
Yeah, no, seriously,
it's a funny story, and we talk about how our grandkids will never know our parents, but that's, we're not that unusual. I mean, it's not that unusual. We all know people whose one of their parents are dead. I don't know anybody else our age whose both their parents are dead.
No.
I have one
of my aunt's friends. Mom died of pancreatic cancer. Dad died 2 weeks before, mom.
So oh, really? That close?
It was good. No, she died. Mom died of pancreatic cancer a long time ago. She was in her 20s.
What was her name? What did you do for her? Fucking cares.
That's the other
thing. You
said you know no one. I just gave you one example.
That's the other thing. I don't know anybody. Obviously, the both parents are, but like somebody, any story that is 7 weeks apart. I'm sure that they're out there, obviously.
Yeah, car crashes and
whatever. Yeah. But
it's weird.
That's the fucked up part about it.
All right, so we tried to tell the story of dad the best we could. I feel like we might have left out a couple of good dad stories. I don't know. If I think of them, I'll tell them. I'm not going to read the whole eulogy. I won't be able to do it. Should I do a couple parts or no?
You
cry during the podcast, so you got to set yourself up to maybe cry during
this one.
Yeah, you didn't cry once.
True.
It's a big moment.
How long is it? It was 9 minutes, 10 minutes.
Yeah, probably. It probably just felt longer because
there's a lot of
there.
Pauses for laughter and applause and shit.
There's a lot of that.
A lot of pauses in Ryan's.
Just keep reading. Just keep powering through.
Some people call him Dad. Some people call him Peter. I called him my hero. I loved you.
Did you say that?
No.
Was hero in there?
No.
I don't remember hero.
You float above me every day. I reach for the stars and you try and reach back. I miss you. I wish I could kiss you one more time. I love you, Papa.
Papa in the mix.
Papa.
Papa.
Yeah. All right, you think I should then or no?
Yeah, I think you do a little bit of it. Why
not? I'm not going to do the whole thing.
Why not?
Because it's long. It feels a little personal, too, a little bit.
You're giving up some of it. It's still freaking personal. Where the three of us are
talking about for a living.
This.
I think you can get away with a little bit of a
eulogy. Do a podcast for a living.
At one point you were. Show is number two.
What's that?
Show is number two to
That's
you.
True.
This was number one.
That's true.
So you got to let yourself out here.
How are the contract negotiations going, by the way?
No, I'm happy. They couldn't be happy professionally right now.
Just making sure.
Professionally, things are going fantastic.
Who's through the glass right now?
I think that is Keith and Andy Hart.
It's good show.
So really
riveting.
Dad's Hospital is now the second worst day of my life. If I could go back and listen to that. All right, guys. Thanks so much for coming in. Lunch is on me now. We can go wherever we'd like. We really like Papagino's, right?
Big fan of Papagino's.
Papagino's would be delightful.
Abe and Louis?
What's that?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe we'll swing by there as well. All right, that is the Enough About Me podcast, episode 70-something. I don't know what it is, with Adam and Ryan Minahan. If you like us, you can subscribe, obviously. Feel free to do that. And leave a comment if you would. That only helps us. Thanks again to the great people of Milton's. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks on Enough About Me.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.